Isn't there a scripture, I don't remember where it is, says, and the children shall lead them? Yeah. Don't you feel that way this morning? I do. This morning, to prepare us for the morning message, I'm going to read from Psalm 105. That's on page 597 in your pew Bibles, or in your Bibles on the pew chairs. If you don't have a Bible, we just want to encourage you to just take that Bible home with you and read it and learn about God through His Word and what He's taught all the saints for a long time. Hear the Word of God this morning. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wondrous acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. And remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He has pronounced. Let's do that this morning. Amen.
I know some of you are still sitting with your Operation Christmas Child boxes. We've apparently miscommunicated. So following this, the service today, if you just want to bring those boxes up here to the front and put them there, that'll be just great. Would you pray with me? Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditations and the thoughts of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight this morning. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to come and to sit before it. And I ask that you would teach us all from it today. We pray this in Jesus' name. You know, the list seems to get longer and longer each night. Cindy finishes reading a story to Ben and Josiah, my two sons. And like the town crier of old, I hear two small voices in unison say, "Daddy, your turn." And I put down what I'm working on and go up the stairs. And Ben and Josiah and I gather on one of their beds and we hold hands together and we begin to pray. Josiah babbles a prayer, completely discernible to the Holy Spirit only. Every once in a while, I'm able to hear a God and a thank you. And for a child who is struggling to speak, those are very, very precious words to be able to hear. And then Ben begins. "Thank you, God, for this day, and I wish that you'd give me good dreams and good rest. And thank you for Mommy and Daddy and Josiah. And for my school, and for all my friends, and for my toys, and for all my videos and DVDs, and for Grandma and Papa and Mimi, and for Snow, something I've been trying to teach him to not pray for, and for Thomas the Tank Engine, and for my knights and my castle and my swords, and for everything that you give me. Amen." And when Ben finishes with his list of thank yous, I pray for my boys, and I go back downstairs, and I think, wow, that kid has a lot of stuff to be thankful for. He's thankful for this, and he's thankful for this, and on and on and on. And sometimes I find as my home gets more and more quiet in the evenings, and the Spirit of God begins to speak to me. And he says something to me like this, "Malcolm, are you as thankful for the things I've done in your life and I've done for you as that little boy is upstairs?" And I have to tell you, folks, I don't like that question. Because far too often I have to answer no. I am not always thankful for what God has done. And many times I don't even take the time to remember what God has done and to thank Him for it. And sometimes I'm simply ignorant that God is even at work. I attribute thanks to the object of God's work and not to God Himself. And instead, I find of cultivating a heart and a life of thanksgiving for everything that God has given. The great or the small, whether material things or relationships or corporate blessings that many can share. I so often settle. And if you find yourself nodding your head in agreement with me this morning, you're hearing some similar stuff. We so often settle for a life that gives thanks to God as an afterthought at best, and at worst, simply ignores His work in our life altogether. Yet thankfulness and being a thankful person, engaging in thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for what He has done, is an important and often a central act of the Christian life. I did a word search in the Bible on the word thank and all the derivatives of thank. Thankful, thankfulness, thanks, thanksgiving. And we came up with about 150 times that word or one of its derivatives shows up in the scriptures. And in many of the instances for which the word thank or thankful or thanksgiving is given, the surrounding context is that you are to be doing this as an act of worship, as something that is a part of your daily life as you are living your life before God. We see it in the Old Testament in verses like what Pastor Sam read this morning in Psalm 100, verse 4, where the psalmist says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." In Philippians, in the New Testament, this theme is again repeated. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Moving back to the Old Testament very quickly, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4, says this, he's speaking of David, "appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel." The context of Psalm 105 that we're looking at today is given in this 1 Chronicles 16 passage. See, in 1 Chronicles 16, we read that David has just recently returned from war with the Philistines. And in returning from war with the Philistines, he is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the city of Jerusalem. And there is such celebration, there is such gladness that the Ark has returned, that the presence has returned. That David pens, or we believe David pens, this psalm of thanksgiving to God. And David appoints priests to stand before the Ark and to stand within the tabernacle and to praise God and to worship God. In verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 105, the psalmist writes to inspire his people to be thankful for what God has done. The psalmist calls upon his people to make known to the other nations around them, everyone that they come into contact with, that what God has done, to sing praise to God for what he's done, to glory, to rejoice in God, and to find their strength in seeking after God. The psalmist says it like this, "Give thanks to the Lord and call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced." See, having established the call to the people to thank God for what God has done, the psalmist sets out now to talk about some of those things to help his people remember what God has done. From verse 7 through the end of Psalm 105 at verse 45, the psalmist recounts the history of the Jewish people from the time that God makes his covenant with Abraham and calling the Hebrew people his own, moving to the story of Joseph and his time in Egypt and what he did, how God used him in that time to not only help the Egyptians and preserve the Egyptians, but to bring food to the known world, to the world at that time. The psalmist also talks about the Jewish people coming down to Egypt, and then moves to the Jewish people's exodus out of Egypt under Moses' leadership. And finally ends in a remembrance of God's faithfulness during the wilderness wanderings before entering the promised land. And as believers in Jesus Christ, you and I share in the heritage and in the history of what is shared in that psalm. And we are also called to be a people who, as the psalmist says, remembers the wonders that God has done, the miracles, and the judgments he proclaimed. You see, thankfulness, especially the act of giving thanks, of telling God that we are thankful for what he has done in our lives, is something that we are to always engage in. It is an act of worship before God. It is also an expression of our love to God. It is an expression of our devotion to him in all of the areas of our lives. Why is that? Well, the psalmist reminds us that as we make known among the nations, as we tell others what God is doing, that we testify about God's love. as we go through and we recount even our own personal histories, and we walk through the different times that we have seen God be faithful to us, that we have seen God, if you will, pull through for us, that we have seen God demonstrate his love for us, demonstrate his care for us, demonstrate that he does not leave us, that he will not forsake us. As we think on those times, as we remember those times, the psalmist says, allow them to engender the thankfulness in you. And thank God for that. I find the exercise of thinking about what God has done in my life and thanking him for even the minutia sometimes to be very refreshing. And this is a new exercise for me. It's a new experience to try to look throughout my day and try to look throughout the world that I come into contact with and pick those things out that I could say, yeah, God, I actually did see you at work there. That wasn't just happenstance. It wasn't just circumstances. It was you at work. And I thank you for that. And I find that as I'm able to do that, surprisingly enough, I see God more and more at work, not even in my life, but in the lives of those around me. And surprisingly enough, I find that I am engendered and I am indebted and I am even more dependent upon who God is and what it is that he has done for us. And I believe that we as a church have much to be thankful for. We have many wonders ourselves, many miracles ourselves as a body, and at times, many judgments, those times of correction in our lives that we can look back to and give thanks to God for. And as we give thanks to God for what he has done in the past, I think we will be able to move forward into the future with confidence. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we have a building project across the street that we can be thanking God for. Every day, more and more of that new facility gets assembled and goes up. And I have the privilege of being able to be over on that site almost every day and seeing a little bit more get done. I also have the privilege of hearing the different stories that are going on over there. Some of them are wonderful things. Some of them are $800,000 shortfalls. And I don't gloss over the fact that we as a body of believers have a great challenge before us. But within that great challenge, I hope that you will take the time to remember that God has been faithful. God has been very faithful to this church. And God has typically been faithful through you. As you have given in the different building campaigns that we have been in. And even as you have gone beyond given and seen to the vision of what we believe that new building will be. Because I go over there and I see the wood and I see the concrete and I see the land and I'm excited by all those things. I geek out when I get to see them using the equipment and I really enjoy just watching that. But what I find incredible is as I walk through those hallways, as I look at the classrooms, I begin to hear voices. I'm not schizophrenic, but I begin to hear the people that God is going to bring to that building. And I begin to hear laughter, and I begin to hear music, and I begin to see what God wants to do, not through a new building, but through Grace Church, which is you. But we have things to be thankful for in that building. We also have ministries and programs here at Grace Church to be thankful for. I was struck when we did the ministry fair this past September, how many ministries there are that we offer to our community. And how much there is that people can engage in, how much there is that they can hear about the story of Jesus Christ, they can hear the gospel every single week in a plethora of venues. We have a lot to be thankful for there. We have a lot to be thankful for in that through the ministry of Grace Church, over the last 4 years, do you know that this church has painted in one day, over 4 years, 9 homes in the city of Kingston? 9 homes. We have things to be thankful for in being able to see that the intersections at 209 and 9W are almost always clean. That is a ministry that we are providing to this community. We have something to be thankful for when you see children running all over this building, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. And you know what, folks? Some of those times are the only times those kids are hugged and loved during the week. And that is what you are doing. Be thankful for how God is working through you. Be thankful for how God is using the ministries of this church to not only expand what Grace Church is and the numbers of people that we have and what we can offer. He is using you to change lives. He is using you to bring the gospel to this community. And that reminds me of the third thing that we have to be thankful for, which is each other. You see, Grace Church is not about committees. Although we may think that it is at times, Grace Church is about communities. Our mission is not to provide quality programming, quality services, and quality buildings to this community, although that is something that we endeavor to do. Our mission is to passionately seek the lost, is to train believers or encourage and build believers in discipleship, and to equip believers for works of ministry. Some of you are here this morning because other people have invited you to come. Be thankful for that. I believe that every single one of you that are sitting here this morning have some kind of talent, some kind of gift, whatever you want to call it, that can be used to build God's kingdom. Be thankful for that and use it. Use it for what He wants to do through you to change Kingston, to change Ulster County. He used 11 men. Jesus did. And He changed the world. And He wants to change it through you as well. You know, recalling the wonders that God has done through Grace Church, the miracles that He has performed at this church, sometimes even remembering the judgments that He has brought to us. And don't hear judgment like He's angry with us. I believe what the psalmist is saying there, those judgments, those times of correction in our lives. Many of you know how often God has protected us from bad decisions. Or as we are going towards a decision that could be harmful to this church, has changed our direction. We have to be thankful for that. He protects us all the times. But as you think on those things, as you think on those things for Grace Church, I challenge you to also think on those things in your life. And to ask that question that I find I am asked often by God. Are you thankful for what I am doing in your life? Are you thankful for the things that I have given you? Are you thankful for the ways that I have provided for you? I challenge you as you prepare to sit around your tables this Thanksgiving. As you gather again with friends and family, as you cook a delicious meal to enjoy with your loved ones, I challenge you to take time and even think back just through this year to the things that God has done this year in your life, in your family's lives, in your friends' lives, in the lives of those of your neighbors that you come into contact with. I challenge each of us to give thanks to God for the big things and for the small things, for the clearly significant and the seemingly meaningless. Friends, He is at work in your lives. He is at work through us. And we are to tell whoever we come into contact with how we are thankful for what God is doing. Take time this Thanksgiving to do just that. Be thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God for what He has done. Father, I do indeed thank You for Your love. I thank You, Father, for how You do provide for us. And I thank You, Lord God, as we have spoken of many times already this morning, that for giving us Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, without him, what we would be, we would not even be here this morning in terms of worshiping you the way that we are. We would not have the hope that we do of sins that have indeed been forgiven, of righteousness that has been imputed upon us, of your justice having been satisfied. Father, without Jesus, we would still be dead in our sins, and we would still be separated from you. And we thank you so much for that. Pray, Father, that you would teach us to be a thankful people. Teach us to remember. Teach us to see how you were at work, and embolden us, Father, to testify to what we see you doing to those that we come into contact with. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness.